this first reading that we just heard and the gospel, I look at them as almost like they complement each other, because on the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the Apostle Luke tells us the facts. That's what Acts means, the actions that happen in those times. And the action that happened 40 days after Jesus resurrected is what is being described. Two men dressed in white, not me, even though I'm dressed in white, but two men dressed in white, they look at the disciples, and as they were looking up, they told them, "What are you doing? Go on with your life." But what does that mean, go on with your life, instead of contemplating the scene they were contemplating? And in many ways, that's what we are called to do and to experience as Christians. So what does that mean, these main questions? What are you looking at? Go on. Do what you are called to do. And the gospel, Jesus tells us what we are called to do is spread the good news. So how we do both, and what does that mean, these two aspects of both? But before that, let me tell you a little story that somehow we all can relate to. And the story is all of us probably experience going to a graduation ceremony, especially around this time of the year. There are plenty of graduation ceremonies. And being a friend that we are going to be part of the celebration, or family member, or even ourselves, we know one fact. Everyone expects that at the end of the graduation, something will follow up, that the person learns something that is going to put in action, whatever they learn and whatever they have been in formation all these years, and they are going to start a professional life after the graduation. Is a fact, correct? But now imagine translating this graduation ceremony to what it means to the disciples. They were with Jesus for 3 or 4 years. They listened every single speech that Jesus gave. They saw Jesus performing miracles. They saw the cure of the lepers. They saw Lazarus coming out of the tomb. They saw Jesus' resurrection. They experienced Jesus those 40 days after the resurrection. And even though they were in this huge time of formation, they have doubts. As we heard today, they had doubts. And even in the Acts of the Apostles, they keep asking, "Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel like a political kingdom?" And Jesus keeps, with a lot of patience, telling them which direction is the kingdom of God, which is not necessarily a political kingdom. But comes the moment, and that is the moment of their graduation ceremony, which means Jesus is going and tells them, indirectly, "You are not anymore disciples. You become apostles. We become the messengers. You'll become the one announcing the good news." So now, looking from that perspective, imagine ourselves. We've been Christian probably for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50, 60, 70, a little more than that. And all of us, we've been coming to church thinking ourselves, we are disciples. We come to listen. We come to hear the good news. We come to be exposed to wonderful news that God tells us. But also today we can say, it's our graduation ceremony. We are all called to announce the good news of God. And most of us, we have been doing that for generations and for a long time without even realizing that's what we are doing. So what it means to baptize is like I'm finding someone that is not a Christian from outside, and I drag that person, I have the baptismal font here, and whatever you want or not, I'm going to baptize you and I do my good deed today. What it means to be a beacon of light, what it means to be a lighthouse, what it means to be what Jesus tells us, I'm inviting you to be a messenger, a witness. What it means to be all of the above. And I'll say, there is not one single answer. Why? For instance, we have two patrons for the missionaries. One of them is St. Francis Xavier, which probably we all heard about it. And we understand he went all over the world. No GPS existed, no online ticketing, buying tickets online. And he traveled for thousands and thousands of miles. He went to India and baptized thousands of people. He went to Japan and baptized a lot of people. And finally, at the doors of China, he died. But we look to his life and we realize, oh, he just followed exactly what Jesus told us and is the great example, the great patron of the missions. And I understand why he's there in that particular role in the altars. But next to St. Francis Xavier, there is Santa Teresa of Lisieux. And she spent 24 years of her life in the convent. And during those 24 years, she just prayed for all the people going to the missions. And both of them, for the eyes of the church, they are both equally patrons of the missions. So two different roles, two different ways of praising God, two different ways of, in an active way, being evangelizers of God's role and God's love and God's care for each one of us. It means there is not a particular route, and there is not a particular, let's say, prescription that we can say, this is the only way to be an evangelizer. This is the only way to be a witness of Jesus' love. Each one of us, in our own ways, we need to discover what it means to follow Jesus, what it means in our daily life, because our India or our China is not there, it's here. Whatever place we live, that's where it becomes our place of sharing the good news with the people around us, of caring for others around us. And each one of us, we are called to share the gifts of life that we receive. And so each one of us, we need to figure out what it means to give time for others, that others might discover God in their lives. Could be through the youth group, could be to give food to the poor, could be through a prayer group in the parish, could be through coming to church and afterwards finding people that I love and I like and sharing whatever happens to me in that particular moment. So many different ways, but we are called also to start a journey, which means a journey doesn't start if I'm standing here for the rest of the Mass. We are not going anywhere. But if I do my first step, I'm starting a journey. If I do a little second step, I'm continuing the journey. That's what Jesus inviting each one of us to be, this wonderful light for others. And we might say, who am I? I'm so small and I feel so little in God's eyes. But God loves each one of us. He tells each one of us, I'll be with you always. Like he's telling today in this reading, I will be with you always until the end of times. So this profound sense that he doesn't leave us alone, this profound sense that we are not experienced being spiritual orphans, but knowing that we can start this journey trusting that will be part of the journey with each one of us. So it means whatever on the surface might be an impossible mountain to go through, an impossible passage to go through, an impossible path to go through, knowing that is going to be with us is not anymore impossible, becomes a visible, a possible journey. So that's what I'm is inviting each one of us to do, this profound sense of starting a journey. But the only way to start the journey is what happened in that particular moment. He needs to go. He needs to go to the Father because we need to receive the Holy Spirit. And now comes the moment that this is what explains the question that Jason was asking in the beginning of the liturgy. Why are we celebrating the Ascension before the Pentecost? Because if Jesus didn't go, Ascension didn't happen. If the Ascension doesn't happen, the Pentecost could never happen. So it means he needs to go. He needs to go to the Father and let each one of us to continue this wonderful journey. Someone the other day, I was listening to this wonderful conference, leaking and connecting the Laudato Si, the encyclical of Pope Francis, and the creation and the wonderful cosmos that we live in. And he believed very clearly that the creation is not over yet, which means the creation still unfolding, the world still unfolding, our stories are still unfolding, our earth are still in the process of creation. So it means God, in many ways, doesn't leave us alone, leave us the Holy Spirit, but we become part of the creation. We become part of this folding and molding, this beautiful earth that we have, and we are called to care, we are called to share, we are called to be a stewards of this beautiful creation. So it means we are part of this wonderful story that the Holy Spirit, when we celebrate this coming week, coming next week, we are telling to each one of us that we want to receive the Spirit of God because we want to be part of this wonderful creation. So that's my prayer for each one of us, that we open our hearts and we let God's Spirit come to each one of us.